George Bowring, Two Bits on the Green Guy. A piece that was shortlisted for the Canadian National Magazine Awards just recently and didn't win.
Who'd you list to?
I don't know. I wasn't there. And I didn't read any stories about it. Recently, I mentioned George Stanley in baseball, and Brian Fawcett, who has been interested in George's poetry for many years, said he didn't know that George was interested in baseball. Well, in the year 2010, my wife Jean and I attended four seasons home openers with him in Seattle, Victoria, Maui, and Vancouver. I told Brian to check the record. George Stanley is the author of a terrific book of poems called Opening Day, a title any self-respecting baseball fan poet would wish to have thought of first. But no, George Stanley's on first, in case you wanted to know. Well, he is in Richard III, Act 5, Scene 3, but that's in another field. George Stanley and I have been going to baseball games together since Connie Mack put away his catcher's mitt. I thought I might tell you 10 of the things we do at the ball game. 1. The anthems. George likes to get there in time to hear the national anthems. I don't, so I usually loiter in the concourse while they're being sung with far too many syllables by some young female pop star wannabe. But George stands up and takes off his hat, though he doesn't do that silly U.S. bit about trying to locate a cap bearing an ad for a transmission company over one's heart. I keep my cap on till the U.S. song about weapons and so on is over. When the Canadian anthem starts, George sings good and loud, making sure we hear him intone, "In all of us command!" I don't sing at all because the song is racist, sexist, religionist, and anti-grammatical. In Maui, a guy sang the Mexican national anthem because the visiting team was the Tijuana Camarones. He sang the chorus and all 10 stanzas. True story. His brother Gerald. Oh, two! His brother Gerald. He got snippers.
I could edit if you like, sure.
Nah. Gerald is a guy who knows everything and has a dry sense of humor, not just baseball. Gerald can tell you the name of the Pittsburgh Steelers backup quarterback and his girlfriend. It is twice as much fun when Gerald comes to a ball game with us. A few years ago in Seattle, when George was 66 and I was 64 and Gerald was 63, Gerald picked up tickets for us at the senior's price. When we reported this to my daughter, chuckling with naughtiness, she said, "Oh, you pulled a fast one on them." We were chagrined. The eighth inning. 3. George hates the eighth inning. He thinks they should jump straight from the seventh inning to the ninth inning. He hates the bottom of the eighth a little less, but he really detests the top of the eighth. He has a haunted look around his eyes in the break after the bottom of the seventh. If the visiting team loads the bases in the top of the eighth but doesn't score a run, he is a wet dish rag till the end of the game. I've often told that to people, and they said, "Why?"
I can understand the question.
I don't know. 4. Those little donuts. George will ignore those little donuts, even if the fragrance made by... Fragrance? Even if the fragrance made by their preparation pervades Section 5 of the grandstand. But when Augie comes from Toronto for his annual vacation wearing his old Vancouver Canadiens AAA Champions t-shirt, or when Andy's grandson Tiber comes down from Terrace in July, George springs for those little donuts. Sometimes I get one, even though Jean is there. 5. The old guys wave. When some attendees at Nat Bailey Stadium start the wave, thus proving that we are in 1970 and a hick town, George Stanley and I do not rise or throw our hands into the air. We sit there and let the wave pass over us. Sometimes I get up and raise my hands after the wave has passed two sections to our left or right. But we do the old guy's wave. George gets up very slowly, shakily, looking as if he will not be able to achieve the standing position, then agonizingly raises his skinny old arms a little bit higher than his head. Then, like an aching tortoise, he reacquires a sitting position, sometimes falling into it at last. Then I count to 3 and begin my own laborious ascent from my seat beside him. In the time we consume accomplishing this feat, a normal ballpark wave could have washed over us 8 times. I just love the old guy's wave. 6. The seventh inning stretch. As soon as the third out of the top half of the seventh inning has been recorded, George gets to his feet and I follow almost immediately. For a while, we are the only spectators standing. Then the voice on the PA system tells the crowd that it's time for the seventh inning stretch, at which point most of the people in the stands begin to get it. We sing the cherished old song enthusiastically. I make sure that I shout "whip" of "Take Me Out" with the crowd, because 99% of the rubes around us intone to the crowd. When it comes to 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out, I always make a point of getting stuck after 2. George likes that. Then, if the home team loses the game, George says, "It's a shame." 7. Shouting stuff. There are things we shout at every game, such as, "Rodriguez, what kind of baseball name is that?" Or, when another visiting player is announced, "Never heard of him!" When an opposing pitcher lets loose an errant fastball, "Crazy wild!" George has a specific rule in this area. He says that you can holler anything you want to at a ball game. It can be any part of speech. "Nevertheless," he once bellowed. This is a poet speaking. 8. The chicken dance. If the entertainment organizers cause the song YMCA to be played on the PA between innings, George and I do the actions, but I always forget how to do the bodily spelling. George always gets it right, and I grumble about how difficult baseball can be, but I'm getting so that I remember the sequence for the chicken dance. George, though, is again the master. His fingers, wings, hips, clap, clap, are just simply superior. Next to Vancouver Canadiens co-owner Jeff Mooney, George Stanley is the best dancer in the yard. The Sushi Race, 9. Some years back, the Milwaukee Brewers baseball people decided to hold a sausage race, every home game featuring a race from right field around to first base by 3, then 4 people dressed as giant sausages, bratwurst, Italian, etc. Then the Washington Nationals had a race among 4 people dressed as giant Mount Rushmore heads, Lincoln, Jefferson, etc. Pretty soon, more and more ballparks had such races. There are now racing pierogies in Pittsburgh, for example. At Nat Bailey, we have the Sushi Race, a run on the infield warning track from first base around to third base among a huge... the race is among a huge round Mrs. B.C. roll, Mr. Kappamaki, and Chief Wasabi. The tradition is that Chief Wasabi, with his martial arts headscarf, never wins, often suffering a loss of attention. But when Gene Baird and George Stanley and I get out our quarters to bet on the race, George always bets his 25 cents on the green blob. He maintains the law of averages is on his side. Yeah, now Jennifer does it. 10. The third inning rule. You were referring to the third inning rules. George Stanley says that going for a hot dog or a beer before the third inning is just not done. He sneers at the long lineup that forms at the beer counter even before the national anthems. The moment that the ball goes plop into some visiting player's glove to signify the end of the second inning, George is on his feet, hand in his money pocket. "George, I object. Is it really the third inning if the Vancouver pitcher has not released his first pitch in the direction of the plate?" "Mere casuistry," he replies, and off he goes to get his hot dog. Never a hamburger, never a bratwurst or a footlong or a smoky. Always the ordinary hot dog. He proclaims it good. "I tried one once. Boy." Poets belong at the ballpark is what I'm endeavoring to illustrate. George Stanley, author of The Stick, is living proof. In his Portland Beavers t-shirt and cap, he represents the vital connection between a polis and its custodians of the divine art.
Amen.